up to you parents if you'd like, or parents, it may help if you come up too. I would love it if you are sixth grade or under, and if you want to, you are more than welcome to come on right down to the front and come on down here to these front two rows. And sorry, yeah, I know I'm about to have to shift my stuff over too. So if you're in sixth grade or under, come on down, because I have some very special balloons that I'm going to be doing for you in just a moment. So I would love if you were on the front row able to see this. So come on down, actually on this row down here. I know he usually has you there, but I'm going to have you on this front row right here. Let me scoot this over. Anywhere you like on this row will be perfect, okay? Find a spot on that row. You can move to the second row. You can sit on that row. That is perfect as well. Right, so come on down. If you would like to, parents, if your child wants to, but you need to come down with them, that's fine too. You can come on down to front two rows. Why don't you sit over there? Yeah. Yes. Oh, well, someone left their nail clippers. We'll get it. We'll get them in a second. All right, anyone else? All right, good, good, good. Okay, perfect. Okay, so great. So let's get our Bibles out, like I said, to Numbers 21. But one of the things that I also enjoy doing, and I hope you guys will enjoy this as well, is I love to make stuff out of balloons. Now, sometimes, you know, I think it's fun to also, you know, you can walk around with the balloon, you know, it's kind of sitting up there and you just kind of walk around with it. But I like to actually make stuff out of balloons. So boys and girls, what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually create something out of balloons. Would that be okay? Would that be okay if I did that? No, you don't have to go anywhere, do you? You can stay right here, right? You're not, okay, good. Just want to make sure you weren't busy or something. All right, here we go. So what I'm going to do is I am going to, we're going to make a little something out of balloons. And I think it'll be kind of neat, kind of special. This is actually, of all the balloon creations that I can make, this is probably my favorite, okay? So hang with me, and we're going to take a minute, and we're going to make something pretty downright cool, I think. All right, unless it pops, okay? The balloons do pop, so you never know. And this one is a little bit tight. Hang with me. Hey, we're good. Okay, hold that. All right, let's go here. Yeah, let's go this one. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Hold that. I'm not going to hit you. I promise I won't. It might pop. I don't know. Okay, thank you. Right there. We'll go right there. Right there. You know what it is yet? No. Yeah, okay. Some people are like, I know exactly what it is. No, you don't. Of course you don't. If you knew what it was, I don't know. You'd be pretty smart. Okay. All right, let's put it right here, right there. All right, hold that. Right, let's go, you know what, let's go here. Let's do this one next. Okay, great principle, great life principle. It's a good idea to never put balloons in your mouth, okay? It really is. It's a good idea not to, put balloons in your mouth, okay? Right, perfect, okay, hold that, okay? We're almost done here, we are almost done. Okay, yep, that'll work. Let's go this way. All right, we are almost done. We are almost there. Oh, come on. All the way. You can do it. You can do it. Any of you talk to your plants? Well, I talk to my balloons, okay? Because I want to, there's some people out there that talk to their plants. Do your parents talk to plants? Yeah, good. Okay, that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Maybe they do it when you're not around, okay? Yeah, it's a good thing if they don't. All right, here we go. Let's pull this down. All right. Well, folks, right before your very eyes, yes, I have made a bow and arrow. I have made an actual bow and arrow right here. And folks, the cool part about the bow and arrow is that this thing is not for looks. Why would you make something like this and it only be for looks? This thing actually shoots. All right, so this thing will actually shoot. And so this is something, this is a very extra special one. All right, I'll shoot it. I'll shoot it this way for you poor adults that were kind of, that were like, he didn't shoot it my way. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so I have here a real life, genuine, probably worth about $2,000 to $3,000 balloon of, it is a bow and arrow. And so what I'm going to do is, because I'm able to, you know, I could make these at home all the time. So what I want to do is, I'm not going to keep this thing. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to give this away. But I'm only giving it away to one person because I only got one bow and arrow. So I'm going to be giving it away to someone sitting in these front two rows, and it's going to be someone who is sitting up straight and tall, and someone who is listening really well, and someone who does not talk out. Oh my goodness. If there's anything that really bugs me, is when I'm trying to preach and someone talks out, okay? So that's gonna be an important thing. You gotta be sitting up, listening, doing the best you can. Having your Bible in front of you is good. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. But it is gonna help you to be sitting up straight and tall, listening as best you can, and not talking out. And I will be watching right up here at the front, and we'll be giving away this bow and arrow to we're gonna fluff up the decorations tonight, okay? We're gonna put this right here. Yeah, this is, you never seen decorations that look this great, this awesome. I'm just kidding. Not true. I'm just going to add my little bit to that. Okay, so we've got our Bibles now. I hope you've got them open, because if you don't, it is too late now. We're going to be getting into the book of Numbers and chapter number 21, my Bible. I lost my Bible. There it is. Okay. Oh, I almost forgot about this. Also, I'm going to be giving away. Now, we talked about this Sunday night, but on my table back there, one of the things that I have is a bunch of CDs that are Bible verses. They're Bible verses put to music, and great things back there. But also, I have 4 volumes of Bible stories for kids. These things are dramatized. These things are great gospel tools. And so what I'm also going to do, boys and girls, is I'm going to be giving away all 4 of these to you as well. So you might get to win the balloon, or you might get to win one of these. So more than one person is going to get a prize here tonight. So you've got to be listening extra well and doing a really good job. And we'll be giving away 4 of these. And I'll also be giving away the balloon there as well. Okay? So let's go ahead and let's look at the book of Numbers and chapter number 21. The book of Numbers and chapter 21. Now, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, okay, so don't you adults check out and start checking scores on whatever sport is going on later on tonight, okay? Stay with me, because this is actually, there is great truth in this and what we're about to see in the Bible for you as well. The Bible is that book that spans all the ages, spans all generations, spans all cultures. And what we're going to look at tonight is a very important bit out of Scripture that is going to be necessary for all of us tonight. In fact, I wonder if God's not going to do a work. Maybe he'll do something great in these children's hearts, but I bet you God wants to do something in your heart right back here. So listen carefully as God's word is taught here tonight. In the book of Numbers and chapter number 21, what we find out is we are kind of tracking along with a nation of Israel. Now, to just give you some quick history, the nation of Israel had actually been living in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. So the Israelites had been living in Egypt as slaves for several hundred years when God had delivered them. God raised up a prophet by the name of Moses, and Moses was used to lead God's chosen people Israel out of Egypt. And God said, hey, I'm going to lead you, God's chosen people Israel. God said, I'm going to lead you to the promised land. And so all the Israelites, they pack up their stuff and they're headed out of Egypt, and God delivered them with a mighty hand. So Israel's got a long way to go to get to the promised land. And in Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4, it says, and they journeyed. So here comes the nation of Israel. They're in the middle of their journey, and they're headed towards the promised land. And it says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and it says, to compass the land of Edom. Now, kind of catch what's going on here. So you got the nation of Israel. They're kind of down by the Red Sea. And so they're trying to kind of go whichever way. We'll just say they're going kind of this way. And so they're trying to go this way. And the Bible says that in order to get from here over to here, they had to go, basically the shortest route would be to go through the country of Edom. Okay? Now the problem was, the Edomites did not like the Israelites. They really cared nothing for them, didn't want anything to do with them. And so because of that, that meant that, you know, okay, so they tried to get permission to cross through, and the Edomites said, no, you can't pass through here. And so the nation of Israel had to go all the way around Edom. Boys and girls, how many of you hate long trips? How many of you hate long trips? Adults, how many of you hate long trips? Anyone out there, you hate long trips? Yeah. You know, one of the things I do with all my traveling, we have some very long trips. In fact, one, the longest we've done, now this was PK. You know, you've heard of BC. This was BC, before children, okay? When we made this, I was going to say pre-kids. But before children, BC works as well. We actually had a day, we had two times, we traveled 16 hours in one day. It was awful. But did you know you can get from Miami to Washington, D.C. in one day in 16 hours if you drive? It's quite a thing. Yeah, and so Israel is having to do this incredibly long trip going all the way around Edom. And so the Bible says in verse number 4 that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In other words, the people really began to, they were upset, they didn't like the long trip, and so the Bible says in verse number four, it says they were discouraged because of the way, but then verse 5 says that the people spake against God. Okay, now that's not good. Because they didn't like the way that God was taking them around the nation of Edom. Instead of like doing some kind of miracle so that they could walk through Edom, they were getting mad and they spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." In other words, you know what the nation of Israel started to do? They started to complain. Hey, does your mom and dad ever tell you, don't complain? Have you ever heard that in your home? Adults, do we ever complain? Hey, listen, I worked 13 years in a grocery store, okay? So there were days we survived by complaining. And some of you know exactly what I'm saying. Some of you are like, oh, I never do that. Yeah, right. You know, now you have struggles with lying too, don't you? Complaining is just, you know, it's something that we do a lot, especially because we're Americans. Do you know, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that God calls complaining sin? God calls complaining sin. In fact, in the book of Philippians in chapter number 4, it says, Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, whatever condition I'm in, he says, therewith to be content. So God says, instead of complaining, you are supposed to be content with whatever God has allowed into your life. Because you know what complaining really is? Complaining is you telling God, God, what you've given me right now is not good enough. You know, we don't like it when it's phrased that way because all of a sudden we see that we're guilty. But that's what complaining is, and God calls it sin. And you know, here what God is about to do is God is about to punish this sin. Because folks, it doesn't matter. You know, we are the ones who come up with levels on sin. You know, we talk about, maybe complaining and just being unkind or just being, things like that. We might say that that's like a level 1 sin, but then, oh, murder. Now that's like a level 10 sin. Or something like that. Listen, we're the ones that come up with levels for how horrible sin is. Guys, sin is sin in God's eyes. God says in God's eyes, because God is absolutely perfect and because God is absolutely holy, he says that anything that is opposite of his character is sin. We're the ones that say, oh, this is a small sin, this is a big sin. We're the ones that come up with that stuff. But sin is sin in God's eyes. And you know, the Bible says that every single one of us in this room, that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a single one of us that can say, well, I'm a pretty righteous person. I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if you want to sit here tonight and say, well, I feel like I'm a righteous person. I feel like I'm a good person. Guess what, friend? When you stand before God, God's not going to ask you, how do you feel about yourself? He's going to say, my Bible said you're a sinner. And the Bible does say we're all sinners. You, me, from the oldest to the youngest of us, God says that we are all sinners. We've all broken God's law. But what we're about to find out, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, is that sin must be punished. You know, even this sin of complaining, God had to punish this sin. Verse number 6 says that God, there was a very specific punishment that God sent upon his people for their sin of complaining. And folks, I will read to you in just a moment what it is, but before you read it, I want to show you what it is. Now relax, if you know your Bibles, it's just another balloon, okay? Yeah, some of you are like, oh, what has he brought here tonight? Okay, so I'm going to show you what God's punishment was on his people. Simply for the sin of complaining. Like I said, sometimes we think complaining is not all that bad, but God does say that it is. And so God allowed a very specific punishment. You know what? I'm trying to make this a specific size. Oh, someone is talking out. Oh, who was talking out? Oh, you got to be listening. You got to be listening because we got a bow and arrow that we're going to be giving away. So let's put this right here. There was a very specific punishment that God was going to bring upon his people. And I'm really hoping that this does not pop. So this is your warning for those of you who have sensitive ears or get nervous easily. Okay, hang on. Let's see if I can get this to come through. Come out. Come out. Oh, go down. And let's bring it. He's coming up. He's coming up. Watch him come. There he comes. Oh, let's stick that now back down in there. And what I have made, ladies and gentlemen, right before your very eyes, I have right here a coiled up snake. You know, verse number 6 says that the punishment that God sent upon his people was, it says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Can you imagine one day, God has just gotten fed up with all the complaining that's going on, and so the Bible says that God allowed a bunch of, he says, fiery serpents to all of a sudden appear and begin to go throughout the camp. Now listen, how many of y'all hate snakes? Any of y'all hate snakes? Yeah. A lot of you. Yeah, of course. Yeah. A lot of y'all hate snakes. And so, so these things were everywhere. Now the Bible says they were fiery serpents. Now, we read that and we think like, oh, Mr. Matt, could they like breathe fire? Well, probably not. But the Bible says this. It says that in verse number 6, it says that they began to bite the people. So what probably happened was that when these snakes would go out, you know, you could be, I mean, just imagine, these people were living in tents. You know, they weren't living in houses, and so these things were everywhere. You know, how many of you have ever been camping? Any of y'all ever been camping before? You go out in a tent, camping in a tent, you know? Those things, they are not very secure. There's a lot of stuff that can get into a tent. And, you know, if you were out there and you were the nation of Israel, you'd just be walking around, and you'd be just trying to get from here to there, and these snakes were everywhere, and you never knew when one of these things was going to jump out and bite you, and you just never knew. And so, you're good? Okay, good. So these snakes were everywhere, and they would bite the people, and the Bible says that they were fiery serpents, which probably means that when they would bite you, it probably means that the bite would leave a burning sensation and you might almost feel like your hand was on fire. But the Bible says that the bites from these, for you technical people, venomous, is that the correct word? Not poisonous, venomous snakes. The Bible says in verse number 6 that they bit the people, and it says much people of Israel died. Whoa, you say, wow. Maybe you're thinking that, Matt, that is pretty drastic for a lot, just for complaining. You know something, folks? That's how bad your sin is. See, you think your sin's not that bad. You think, well, if you look at other people, you say, Matt, if you were to compare me to like these people over here, my sin's not that bad. Hey, folks, guess what? When you stand before God one day, God's not going to line up your sin next to this group of people that you wanted him to line up your life next to. He's going to line up your life next to himself. And folks, when we line up our lives next to the life of God, God is absolutely perfect. He is absolutely holy. And guess what? We are not. And your sin has to be punished. Folks, if we were, again, you might think, well, my goodness, you know, the punishment of death, it just seems really drastic for sin. But, if you just think about this, if you were to sin just 3 times a day, let's just pretend that all you did was sin 3 times a day. Probably for all of us, we do a lot more than that. Let's just pretend that you sin 3 times a day. One bad thought, one bad word, one bad action. If you only sin 3 times a day, if you did that 365 days a year, that'd be, somewhere around 1,000 sins a year. If you lived to be 75, that would be 75,000 times that you have sinned against God. All of a sudden, we don't look so amazing anymore, do we? And that's if we were like really, 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 really good. And we, you know, and so the point is this, is that sin must be punished. And the Bible says, Romans 6:23 says that the wages, the payment for sin is death. It's still death today. The Bible says that your sin can only be paid for with death. It cannot be paid for with good works. It cannot be paid for with baptisms. It cannot be paid for with communion. It cannot be paid for with a church membership. Sin can only be paid for with death. And hence, that's why there was, why he allowed these fiery serpents. So verse number 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And so Moses prayed for the people. Man, the people of Israel were willing to admit and recognize that they had sinned against God. I hope you're at that point too. I hope that there's been a point in your life where you have recognized and said, wow, I am as bad of a sinner as God says I am, and that you've come and confessed your sin to God. If you have not, you need to. And Israel came to the point, they said, my goodness, we've got to stop this. And so they said, Moses, pray for us. We want God to deliver us from these fiery serpents. And so verse number 8, so after the people confess their sin. Verse 8, the Lord said unto Moses, he said, all right, I have a plan in place so that everybody who's gotten bit by the serpents can be healed. And so verse number 8, the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Make one? Well, yeah. Verse 9 says that Moses made one out of brass. So he gets brass and he crafts it. I don't know how exactly, or maybe he had some people help him. But it says that he crafted it into the shape of one of these fiery serpents. Then it says, God said, now set it upon a pole. Yeah, check this out. I brought my own pole. Yeah, there we go. All right, so Moses made the serpent out of brass. Oh boy, it is tight inside of these snake coils. So hopefully we'll get this snake sitting on top of this pole. Get it just a little bit up in there. Right about there should work. I think it'll stay, okay? So we get the snake put up there on top of a pole. Okay, so now we got a brass snake up on top of a wooden pole. Now what? Then God says, and he says, it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, if you get bit by one of those snakes, he says, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Okay. So just look at it. That's all God said. Well, you say, did it work? Well, verse 9 says that Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that the serpent had bitten any man when he beheld, when he looked at the serpent of brass, the Bible says he lived. You know, God had a way that those people would not have to die from their snake bites. It was all they had to do, and it wasn't complicated. If you were out one day, and you were just trying to, you know, just trying to maybe do your chores at home, maybe you're just trying to do school, and some, you know, fiery serpent comes, and it bites you. You know what all you had to do? You just had to walk out of the tent, look at the pole up on the look at the brass snake up on the middle of the, on the pole in the middle of the camp, just look at it, and your bite was immediately healed. You know what God was doing? God was doing a bunch of miracles. So the people can only say, wow, God has healed me from my disease. Now, I always wonder if there were like some people that were like, oh, that sounds too simple. You know, there's got to be other ways that I could get healed. Maybe there was someone who tried out. Maybe there was someone who said, oh, that's too simple. There's got to be more to it than just looking at it. You know, if there were people that said that and tried to find some more complicated way to get healed from their snake bites, guess what happened to them? They died. Yep. What if someone was to say, oh, well, that's a good way for some of you, but I think my way works too. Guess what would have happened to them? They would have died. Maybe what if there was someone who said, oh, there's got to be something that I have to do to heal myself. I mean, I could go look at the snake, but that's just so simple. There's got to be something that I have to do to heal myself. Well, if they were going to think that way, they would have died too. What if someone said, oh, guess what? There is a snake doctor in the camp. Oh, he's got some, he has got some stuff and he can heal snake bites. You know, if someone went to the snake doctor instead of looking at the brass snake, guess what would have happened? They would have died. Now, probably there was probably someone out there who was like, essential oils. I've got essential oils, and if you rub this, you know, this some extract of lavender on the between your two toes, it'll take away that snake bite that's on the top of your face. You know, I don't know. I'm just picking on, yeah. See, me, I'm more like, you know, the only oil that I know of that's essential is bacon grease, okay? And that's the only, I know. Some of you are like, that's not what essential means. I know, I just like to watch you jump like that. Okay, that's kind of fun to watch you jump like that. All right, so so maybe there was someone, what if there was someone who was like, I have essential oils. You know, that'll take care of your snake bite. Guess what? If they tried essential oils instead of looking at the snake, they would have died too. And the folks that God had made, listen, God had made one way that people could be healed from their snake bites. Only one. God didn't have more than one. He gave one way that they could be healed from their snake bites. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to one more verse and then we're going to be done. If you have fast fingers, you can turn over to the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. The book of John, in the book of John chapter 3, now folks, we jumped way ahead in our Bible history pretty fast. But in John chapter 3, we have Jesus talking to a religious leader in John chapter 3. And look down at verse number 14. Jesus said to this man, this religious leader was trying to figure out the way to heaven, was trying to understand what Jesus was teaching. And in verse number 3, it says, Jesus said to this man Nicodemus, he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Well, pause. We know all about that. We just read about it. We learned about it. Jesus was in this talk with this Pharisee, was referring back to this event with Moses. So he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he says, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Boys and girls, can you think of a time, this is not a trick question, okay? Can you think of a time he said that in the same way that Moses lifted up a brass snake on a wooden pole, he says that the Son of Man, which is Jesus, will also have to be lifted up on a wooden pole. Boys and girls, can you think of a time when Jesus was lifted up on a pole of like wood? Yeah, can you think of some time? What time was that? When was that? That's exactly right. It's when he died on a cross. And boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, you know what? In the same way that Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, in the exact same way, there is coming a time. There is coming a time, he says, when the Son of Man is also going to be lifted up. However, it wasn't on some kind of a straight pole like Moses put, but it was going to be upon a cross. And Jesus says, there's coming a day when I am going to be lifted up on a cross which was an instrument of execution. It was a way that people died. And Jesus said, there's coming a day when I am going to, just like the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, I am going to be lifted up on a cross. And John 3:15, Jesus said that whosoever believeth in him, in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. You know what that word believe means? It says, whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The word believe, it's real simple. It's a word that means to trust or to depend. And folks, you know what Jesus was saying? In the same way, those people with Moses back in the Old Testament, they had to put their trust. They had to put their dependence on that just looking at that snake would heal them. In the same way, Jesus says, you've got to put your trust, you've got to put your dependence upon my death on the cross as the one sufficient payment for your sins. Now, there's going to be some of you maybe out there today. There's definitely people out there in the world that'll do just like those people did. Maybe some of those people did. Maybe there was, because sometimes there's people today that say, oh, well, that's just too simple. It's got to be more complicated than just putting your dependence and putting your trust on Jesus to save you from your sins. There's got to be something that I have to do. I can come up with a different way. My way works too. Hey, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own truth. And when you stand before God, folks, when you stand before God, His truth, His Bible says, you've got to have put your dependence upon Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. There is no other way. But the Bible says that if you won't do this, the Bible says that you will perish. Folks, there were people in the Old Testament that perished because they wouldn't look at the snake. In the same way, if you won't look to Jesus to save you from your sins, you too will perish. In a real place that the Bible calls hell, a place of pain, a place of suffering, a place of flames of fire. It's a place that where God must punish sin. But hey, God loved you so much. He loved you so much that God said, there is no way I am just going to let you go. He loved you so much that he came, left the glories of perfect heaven to come down to a dirt-filled, disease-ridden, sin indicted world to dwell on earth with people like us, to live 33 sinless years and then go to a cross and die the death penalty that you and I should have to pay for our own sins in hell. Jesus paid that death penalty. And you know what Jesus has done? He's so kind to you that he brought you and set you right in the middle of this building here tonight, or put you right on the live stream here tonight, so that you could hear and know that you, so you can know, if I put my dependence on Jesus, God will give me eternal life. God will save me from my sin problem, my snake bite problem, my sin problem. Has there ever been a time in your life, friend, where you have put your dependence on Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins? You have, the Bible says you have eternal life. If you have not, the Bible says that in John chapter 3 that the wrath of God abides on you. Will you put your trust on Jesus if you never have? Let's bow our heads. All heads bowed, no eyes closed, and no one's looking around. No one looking around, just I'm up here at the front. All heads down, all eyes closed. I'm going to ask a couple questions briefly that are similar to Sunday morning's questions, okay? How many of you would say this evening, Matt, if I was to die today, I've already put my trust on Jesus to save me from my sins. I've already asked him to save me from my sins. That's all settled. I've already asked Jesus to save me from my sins. How many of you tonight can raise your hand and say, Matt, I've already asked Jesus to save me from my sins. I've done that already. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I've already done that? Good. Oh, man, lots of hands. That's great. Yeah, you can put them down. Lots of hands all over the place. Good, good. All right, good. Hey, maybe you couldn't raise your hand. Maybe you're still not sure. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you do know. Maybe you do know that you've never put your trust on Jesus alone to save you from your sins. Friends, tonight is a great night for you to do that. Tonight's a great night for you to do that. Let me ask this then. Is there anyone in this room who would raise their hand and you would say, Matt, if I was to die today, I am not sure that my sins are forgiven, and I am not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, and I am concerned about that tonight. If that's you, okay? If that's you, you'd say, Matt, if I was to die tonight, I am not sure that my sins are forgiven. I am not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. I'm concerned about that tonight. If that's you, would you please raise your hand? Is there anyone like that all across this room who would say, Matt, I am not sure if my sins are forgiven. I am not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm concerned about that tonight. Anyone like that who would raise their hand? Anyone like that? Okay. Anyone at all? Well, then let's do this. I see a hand. Good. Okay, I see a hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Well, let's do this. Let's do this. If we can, I know there's usually, if you have a couple of counselors, I don't know if there's some counselors set for tonight, or at least pastors up here. If you're a counselor here tonight, why don't you come on down, just counselors, come on down to the front if you would. And let's go ahead and let's just have a few moments of piano playing. Yeah, just like that. Thank you. And as she plays, if God's worked on your heart and you are really, truly concerned whether or not you're saved, whether or not you know Jesus as your Savior, then today's the day you need to make sure of that. So let's all go ahead and stand. Just stay in your place. Keep your heads down, eyes closed. Everybody standing with your heads down, eyes closed. And if you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you should have, counselors are down here. Why don't you just come on right down the aisle while no one's looking, walk up to one of these counselors, and let's get the questions answered. Boy, on Sunday, you know one thing I did? I talked to someone who raised their hand, and they had questions. They were not sure. Some of y'all need to just get your questions answered as to why you're not sure that you're saved, as to why you're not sure if you have eternal life. Why don't you just come on down to the front as she plays, walk up to one of these counselors. They'll get with you. They'll sit down with you. They'll answer your questions. They'll take all the time that you need, okay? So I'm going to go quiet. God's worked on your heart. Would you please come on down, talk to one of the counselors. Friend, while we're standing in silence, if you are already saved, would you go to prayer right now for someone you know, maybe in this room or maybe someone else back home who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, who needed this?